The enemy will give you every reason to not trust God, to not obey Him, to not believe Him, to not walk in faith. He'll give you every reasonable reason to not get into His Word, to not pray. And every one of those reasons is reasonable. The trouble with those reasons is they're all wrong, even though they are reasonable. We do things for one reason only. They are the will of God. That is why we do things. The enemy will tell you, don't trust. The enemy will tell you, don't obey in faith obedience. But you do it because the Spirit of God says it. You trust the Spirit of God as He illuminates His Word to your hearts. And that's why you do it. Never be afraid of that faith. Never be afraid of that faith. Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Give us a rich portion from Your throne, in Jesus' name. One of the most important things, one of the most important lessons I've ever learned, I was fortunate enough to learn very early on from my first pastor. He was a godly man. He was a good pastor. And there is one thing that has stayed with me. I was under his pastoring for 2 years, and then I went under Pastor Stevens. And there was one thing that stayed with me because he lived it. The thing that your pastor lives is the thing your pastor will impart. This man lived faith. And what he imparted to me, and it's really... I remember some of his messages a little bit. I have some on tape. If I wanted to dig them out, I could listen to them. But the one thing that really stayed with me from him was to never be afraid of faith. Many people are afraid of faith because faith requires a cross. There is no such thing as faith apart from the cross. Why? Because the Word of God resident in my heart does not allow me to be resident in my heart also. If the Word of God increases, then I must decrease or it cannot increase. And since faith comes by the Word of God through the hearing of God's Word, then I must have a decrease where He has an increase. So faith will never become a practical reality in a person's life apart from the cross, because they're going to be fighting against faith in an attempt at self-preservation. I wonder what would have happened if Abraham attempted self-preservation at the wrong time. I know what would have happened. He would not have been the father of our faith. But because he did not attempt self-preservation, he was free to walk in faith. Well, without that faith, it's impossible to please him. That tells me that apart from having a cross that produces God's life in me, apart from hearing the Word of God, apart from having it become a part of my soul, part of my heart, apart from that becoming my frame of reference, it's impossible to please him. There are two relationships that I need. Tangible earthly relationships here on earth. I need a relationship with my Bible, because that will give me the substance of faith. But I also need a relationship with my pastor, because that will give me the reality of faith. Bible reading is imperative. A believer cannot have substance in their soul apart from their Bible. But likewise, so is being submitted to the right pastor teacher. Because a believer will not have faith apart from hearing. So there are two relationships I need. One I have through the Holy Spirit with God's Logos. As the Logos becomes the Rhema, as the Holy Spirit illuminates it to my heart. That's how I live. The other I have through the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit speaks to the messenger who speaks to the churches. And that becomes faith in my heart. Together, they join to produce life. This is how it works. Now, a lot of people don't like the notion that they cannot have a proper relationship with God apart from a pastor. The reason why that is important is because I can't have a proper relationship with God apart from humility. And so, God's order enforces humility. And in order for humility to become a reality in my life, I have to be properly submitted. The Word of God says this. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about it a little bit. So it's really an issue of humility. And apart from humility, I won't receive anything from God anyway. Because the humble will hear. The humble hear. Anyway, let's turn for a moment to Matthew 13. And starting in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, see, why is it the word of the kingdom? Because the word of God that is heard comes from the throne. It comes from God's divine authority. And as that authority is set into motion, it takes the form of order. And it is not to say that one person is greater than the other. They are not. It is simply by God's grace that the order is put in place. Just like David was called by the grace of God, we are called by the grace of God also, according to the measure of grace for the gift that we have received. And this is how we operate in the body of Christ. By grace, through faith, according to our gifts. Now, the gift that God gives is energized by God's Word and God's Spirit. And as I operate in God's Word and God's Spirit, I find myself operating by faith. And so I use my gift by faith as a believer priest within a body of believers. As a member in particular where every joint supplies. One joint is not better than the other, but neither is any joint replaceable. It is not possible for me to pigeonhole a believer. And if that believer doesn't work out, to pigeonhole another one in their place. That's not how it works. This is the body of Christ. It is not possible for me to say, oh, I'm going to go somewhere. You know, if somebody told me, in proper order, if I was in the position to do it, I'm going to go to such and such a place. You know what I want to know? Which church there did God call you to? If they said to me, well, I'll get there and then I'll find one, then I'll say, you're out of God's perfect will. You know why? Because there's no one covering that soul. That's why. See, we believers don't like God's order. We like this independent thing where it's God and me and the Holy Spirit and the Word, and this is it. And certainly that is a very important part of my life, and that part cannot be done away with. But either can the other part. A lot of people want to do away with the other part. You know why? Pride. Pride. It's a demonic form of pride where the order of God is removed through an independent spirit. And by spirit, I mean demon. There is a demon of independence. I cannot do away with the Holy Spirit and God's Word. I cannot do away with God's order either. And if I try to do away with either one, then I have essentially done away with God in my life. You see, it is not something we can get around that the Spirit speaks to the agalos, to the messenger who speaks to the churches. Not that we don't have a relationship on our own with God, we certainly do, and that relationship is necessary and imperative. We must cultivate that, it must be present. But so must the other. They must both be there, or we are not mature believers. We may be independent Christians, but independent Christians fall asleep. This is what has happened in this area. A lot of independent Christians who've fallen asleep because they are casualties in the warfare where they are not properly covered by a finished work, grace-loving, finished work preaching, grace-loving, sin-hating, soul-winning pastor. That happens in this area a lot. I used to come here, and I always thought to myself, you know, I could never live here. I'd fall right asleep. There's such a heavy and oppressive spirit over this area. It's a spirit of independence, it's a spirit of religious arrogance, and it's sound asleep. Because it has succumbed to the enemy in the warfare. It doesn't matter if I'm a dead soldier or if I'm a sleeping soldier, I'm just as effective either way. And this is what has happened. This is what happens to the independent spirit. They fall asleep. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Why is he offended? Because he had no root. He is offended because he had no root. The word of God did not penetrate. There was no root. It was only on the surface. And as long as things were well, he was walking fine. As long as there was no challenge to his faith, everything was fine. As long as there was no challenge and it cost him nothing, as long as there had to be no cross, everything was fine. But when tribulation arose, he was moved. He also received seed among the thorns, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see, the cares of this world, if I live in the cares of this world, I will become unfruitful. Why? Because they choke the word that I have. If I'm living in the cares of this world, then I am living unto the world. Now, certainly I have to deal with the details of the world, because I live in the world, but I am not of the world. I am of the Savior, I am of the New Jerusalem, and heaven is my home, and I am citizen of a country, and it's not a worldly country, it is an eternal land. And this is my citizenship, and this is where I belong, and this is the King that I serve. He is the one that I am occupied with, as so long as I do my details pertaining to this world. I do not internalize the cares of this world. I internalize the mind of Christ. And I operate in the Spirit of God as I deal with the cares of this world. There is a big difference. By sight, they may look the same, but within the heart, there is a world of difference. This is where anxiety comes from and stress. This is where people get all bent out of shape about things. Why? Because of the cares of this world. And it chokes off the Word of God. And it makes the believer unfruitful. And continuing in verse 23, "But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it." Now, why is it good ground? What happens in good ground? Well, good ground is ground that is humble and broken before God. Good ground is ground where there's a lot of breaking taking place, where it's a little bit loose and it's not tightly packed. You see, this is very contrary to the religious way of thinking. The religious way of thinking wants everything nice and tightly packed. So it's all in this nice, tidy little box and you can handle it very easily without any great challenge. The trouble is that becomes the hard ground. Ask any farmer, in order to plant good ground into good ground, you have to break that ground up. And you have to take a device that will literally dig into the ground and tear it apart. And then you'll have good ground. This is the seed that will do well, is the seed that is in good ground. And why will that seed do well? Because it can take root. If the ground isn't broken apart, the root will not establish itself. If the ground is broken, the root can go deep. "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You see, the whole point of the root is this. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. What is the root? What is the root? In Galatians 3:2, Paul addresses a misconception of the root. Paul says, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" You tell me, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the law? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by do good, be good? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by trying to adhere your life to a set of principles and precepts and trying to live by this? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit by the word of faith? Simply believing God in the state that you are in. Which one was it? You see, a lot of believers will amen something like this, but then they turn around and do it. A lot of believers say, "Yes, I must live by faith. Let me have my law. And I will live by faith according to the law. And I will live according to the law and I will call it my faith." This is not faith. That's not how it works. Let's continue. Romans 4. In verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace." Where does the root come from? It is of faith that it might be grace. And this is the root. Grace through faith. that becomes my root. It is not grace through the law. It is not grace through performance. It is not grace through subjecting myself to something. It is not grace through conformity. It is by grace through faith. And that's the root. Grace through faith. You see, apart from grace, there is no root, because apart from grace, there is no spirit. Apart from faith, there is no root, because apart from faith, the ground's too hard. And so the root is grace through faith. And the ground that the root enters is the ground of faith, and the root is grace. And it comes by the Spirit. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and called those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How can they say he was strong in faith? He laughed at God. Because he grew. You see, he wasn't strong in faith when the promise was given. He was strong in faith when the promise was fulfilled. And the fulfillment of the promise didn't come just at the birth of Isaac. The fulfillment of the promise came at the rebirth of Isaac. When was Isaac reborn? When Isaac had to be sacrificed. You see, this is the trial of your faith. So many believers are so hesitant to go through the trial of their faith. But it's in the trial of your faith that your faith is perfected by the love of God. It's when you become weak that God's strength is perfected in you. We believers, we like to be strong. We like to take the bull by the horns and know what we're doing and be able to plan things out and know where we're going. But that's not faith. That is hard ground. The root does not go very deeply on hard ground. You know what's in hard ground? More hard ground. And that's all you find there. You know what's in broken ground? Living things. Living things are in broken ground. The trial of your faith is there to break up the ground so that God's life can take a deep root in your heart. This is what it's about. This is why we don't stagger at the promise through unbelief. This is why God tests us to see whether we will live by the promises of God. Grab hold of God's promises and don't let them go. Grab hold of the promises of God's faithfulness. Grab hold of the promises of God's love for you. Grab hold of the promises of God's gentleness and His mercy. Grab hold of the promises that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. Why? Because this is where the root comes from. This is where the life comes from. This is where we get to experience the life of the promise through faith. How do I know God if I'm never tested to know Him? I would know Him very superficially only. And if the breaking doesn't come, if the trial doesn't come, then when the tribulation comes, I can't last, because the ground wasn't broken. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You see, Abraham's faith in the ability of God was imputed to him as righteousness. Mind you, Abraham's faith was in God's ability, nothing else. Abraham's faith was not in his ability to figure it out, because according to Abraham's ability to figure it out, he laughed at God. He thought God was ridiculous. I don't walk according to my ability to figure my life out. I walk in trust of God. I walk in faith. The just live by faith. And so I believe God. And so I draw near to Him and He draws near to me. So I grab a hold of the promises and something comes my way and I ask the Holy Spirit for promises. And He gives them to me. And He reveals them to my heart. And He leads me in the way that I should go, because I do not know my way and I do not know my steps, but He knows where I'm going because He's the one who's sending me there. I can't understand, but God knows the beginning from the end. God knows the beginning from the end. This is why God can say that all things are for my sake. Why do you think that is? Because He already knows the outcome. So He's not just saying it in wishful thinking. He's saying it in the conviction of the reality that is in eternity. All things are for my sake. All things really do work together for good. Because He's already seen the end of it. He's planned the end of it. He's been there. God knows where I'm going, although I do not. I'm much better off with God's plan for my life than with my ability to figure out what to do. It is a better place because it leaves God in control and in charge. You see, this is contrary to our natural way of thinking. We like to be in control. We like to be able to establish our plans and carry them out. I think men are particularly like that. We like to be able to figure something out, establish a plan, and make it work. And on some levels, that's a good thing. But I can't walk with God that way. You see, He said to Peter, I will take you where you would not go. Another will gird you, and He'll take you where you would not go. You see, God girds me, and He takes me to places that I could never imagine. And it doesn't make sense to me sometimes, but that's okay. It makes sense to God, and the just live by faith. I respond to God in a humility of heart, as He implements through His love for me a perfect plan. By the way, do you realize what the perfect plan is? The perfect plan is the plan that God has to reveal His love for me to my heart. That is the perfect plan. This is what the perfect plan is about. God revealing to me His love for me and making it a reality in my heart. This is why we walk in faith. Apart from a walk in faith, how do I get to know the heart of someone I can't even see? Do you believe you're going to heaven? Have you been there yet? Yet we have a conviction in our hearts and we know the reality that it is there and it is real and we are the citizens of a country we've never been to. But we know this by faith. Faith is so much better than sight. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen that are real. Realities unseen. They are real. God tells us what is real. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. Never be afraid to live in faith. Don't worry that you don't understand. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. And then He will guide you, and He will take you to places. And He will give you a call that is a call according to His purpose. And He gives it to you before the world began. He established this calling. It was according to His purpose. You see, you are part of a plan. And there is a plan for your life. But there is also a plan for the life that you fit into. In other words, what I'm saying is there's a plan for you. And your plan fits into another plan. And that plan fits into another plan. And this is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not just a body now. The body of Christ is the body that is eternal. The body of Christ does not die. What am I saying? If Paul was not alive, we wouldn't be here. If Abraham was not alive, we wouldn't be here. You see, Abraham's plan for his life has directly influenced God's plan for my life. God gave a plan for Abraham, and God gave a plan for me, and apart from Abraham's plan, my plan would not exist. But apart from my plan, Abraham's plan would have no fruit. And so the plan that God has, which is perfect, must be responded to in faith. Because I don't see how Abraham meets me. But yet, he is the father of my faith, and I am the fruit of his life. A life that was thousands of years ago. This is the beauty of the plan of God. This is why I can't try to figure out the plan of God, because I don't have a perception which can span through the ages. Paul, vile murderer, persecuted Christians, traveled all over the civilized world to find them and murder them. Yet the plan of his life was that he should kill Stephen. How is that the plan of his life? Because it was Stephen's death that spoke to Paul's heart. By the way, if Paul did not kill Stephen when he was Saul, we wouldn't be here. How is Stephen's death a part of my life? Because Stephen's plan, the plan that God had for Stephen's life, led to the plan that God has for my life. And my life's plan leads to your life's plan. And your life's plan leads to the plan of others. How many people have been touched by the fact that you have given them a track or an invitation? How many people have gotten saved? You know what? For example, you responded in faith. This came out of it. Andrew and Ashley came, especially Ashley, you came before. But Ashley came out of that. She's in Bible college, soul winning in Baltimore. How do you figure that one out? You see, we're members one of another. But we're not just members within time. We are members within eternity. And the plan is the same plan. It's just a continuation. You see, there is no difference between the plan of God that God had for Adam and the plan of God that God has for me. Because if Adam was not here and if Adam did not fall, we wouldn't be here. 6,000 years ago, my plan was started. 6,000 years ago, so was yours. You see, it was all planned before the world began. We have very deep roots through faith. See, that is what our root is. The grace of God through faith. And in faith, I respond to the plan of the Father. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Oh, you see, this is a tragic thing, to fail the grace of God. If I fail the grace of God, that means that the root that is giving me life is dying. If I fail the grace of God, that means I fail the life of God. That means I fail the authority of God, because God is on a throne of grace. I fail that thing which gives me life. Failing the grace of God is not, for example, keeping from sin. God forbid we should sin. Failing the grace of God is not getting up again. Failing the grace of God is not walking in perfection. Failing the grace of God is not walking in trust. I don't have to be perfect. I have to trust God. This is the key. Grace by faith. This is the root. You see, I'm going to have a root. The question is, which root will I have? But I will have a root. And there are a couple of roots available. One of them is God's root. The other is the enemy's. You see, whatever God does, Satan offers an alternative. So if I don't have grace through faith as my root, then I will have another root. Let's continue. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, this is what happens when I don't operate in faith toward grace. When grace through faith isn't the root, isn't the thing that I feed on, what is the root? It is the thing that nourishes the stalk and the leaves and the whole plant. It all comes out of the root. It is the thing that allows me to draw water and nutrients from the soil. That's the root. The Word of God cannot penetrate into a heart that has no root. This is why when tribulation comes, they are quickly offended, because the Word of God cannot become an internalized part of that believer. I need to have a root of grace through faith. And apart from faith, I cannot have a root of grace. Apart from grace, my faith is in the wrong thing. So I have a root of grace through faith. And if I don't have a root of grace through faith, I will have another root, and it will be a root of bitterness, and many people will be defiled by this root. My life is defiled by a root of bitterness. My life is defiled when I do not live in grace, when grace is not the premise of my life. If I have grace as a premise for my life, then it will lead unto fruit. But if there is something else, then it is in fact a root of bitterness. And there is no fruit in this root. There is defilement and corruption. And there is self-righteousness. And often it is a relative righteousness where I compare myself to another believer and I say I measure up this way. That's a root of bitterness. It's not a good root. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 17, the Word of God says, "But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned whose carcass fell in the wilderness?" What do you think would have happened if they repented from that sin? Then they would have entered into the promised land. You see, it wasn't the mistake, it was the failure to repent. It wasn't the mistake, it's the failure to get up. It wasn't that I fall, it's that I stay down. That's the mistake. "And to whom swore he, they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." You see, this was the sin. They believed not. They could have repented and believed, but they believed not. They didn't have the right root, because they didn't have faith toward God. And because they didn't have the right root, they could not enter into the promise. You see, the promise was there. And when Israel left Egypt and the countries around there, the nations around there, when they heard about what God had done for the Israelites against the Egyptians and the way that God had dealt with the Egyptians and the way that God had parted the Red Sea, all those nations were very afraid and their hearts melted in them. This is what it says in Joshua. Their hearts melted within them as the original Israelites who left Egypt walked out. Everybody was afraid of them, not because of who they were, but because of who God was. But they made the mistake of starting to look at who they were instead of looking at who God is. Everybody else saw God's glory, and all they saw was themselves. You see, this is the root of bitterness. I don't see the glory of God, even though the glory of God is present. I just see myself. I see my own abilities, my own strengths and weaknesses. I see my own capacity. I see my own ability apart from God's ability. You see, if I look at my own ability, ultimately I will get to the point where I say I have none, if I am honest. If I'm self-righteous, then I'll think I have plenty. But I don't. But if I'm self-righteous, then God will make sure that He humbles the proud. And I find that I have no ability. And so what do I do then? Well, if I still refuse to humble myself, I'll simply quit. I won't obey God, or I won't trust the promise, or I won't walk in faith, or I won't believe His Word. I won't believe the Spirit. I won't be Spirit-filled. Because I've trusted my ability. But you see, if I realize that I have no ability, and I am humble before God, then I will realize that God's ability is sufficient. And that it's God who does it anyway. Because He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is faithful who's called me, and He will do it. You see, it is so imperative that the just live by faith. Because apart from that, they can't please God. Why? Because apart from that, they live apart from God. There is only one way that I can live with God. I live with Him by faith. And only by living with God by faith can I live with God. And apart from faith, I can't live with Him at all. So we see in Hebrews 3:19 that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What can hinder the plan of God? Unbelief. Oh, it will not stop God's plan. It will simply hinder it. You see, Israel did eventually get into the promised land, but not those who did not believe. oh, I will eventually receive the promise, but it will only be received by faith. You see, just like Abraham received the promise by faith, whatever promise God gives me, whatever calling God gives me, whatever leading God gives me, I receive it by faith. And I enter into it through faith obedience. And I enter into it trusting God, trusting His character towards me, trusting that He loves me and that His grace is sufficient for me. I don't worry about my sufficiency. I don't need any. God has all the sufficiency I need and then some. And so I trust God for my life and I trust God for the lives of other people. Why? Because the just live by faith. If I am living apart from faith, I'm living apart from righteousness, because righteousness was accounted to him through faith. In Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. You see, unbelief has a source, and the source of unbelief is the wrong kingdom. Remember, evil is a government the same way that grace is a government. It is the contrasting government. It is the opposite government. There is a government of God, and there is a government of Satan. Grace is the government of God. Evil is the government of Satan. So if my heart lives in unbelief, then I have given place to the devil. And he takes hold, and the wrong root sets into the soil of my soul, of my heart, and the wrong root, the root of bitterness, penetrates. And it defiles. And it is evil. What happens if I find myself there? Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. I say, God, forgive me, I've lived in unbelief. And I repent of it just like I do whenever I fail. So there's one thing about evil. You see, sin I can confess and I'm forgiven and completely restored. But evil is a government. Evil takes numerous steps. To be delivered from evil, every step that I took in, I now have to take out. So I change the way that I live. I change the way that I think in order to change the way that I live. I change my attitude toward God. I change my attitude towards God's words. I change my attitude towards the Holy Spirit. I stop grieving the Holy Spirit till He's quenched. And I respond through my free volition in faith to God and His promises. The promises of God are there for us to live by them. That's why there's so many of them, so that we have a lot to live by. There's a promise for every category of my life, and He gives it, and the Holy Spirit brings it to my heart so that I can live by faith. Faith in what? Well, faith in God. Well, that's kind of vague, isn't it? Faith in God's promises. Faith in God's promises. If I'm going through a trial, then I know that the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. And that is a promise, and I grab a hold of that promise, and I go through the trial trusting that the end of it will be better than it started. I grab a hold of God's promises. If I'm going through a trial, then I grab a hold of God's promises about His faithfulness. That He will never leave me and never forsake me. And this is a promise from God. And I grab a hold of it. I have faith in God's promises. And the just live by those promises through faith. If I fail, then I know that if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of those sins. And I grab a hold of those promises instead of living in condemnation, instead of living in guilt, instead of living in beating myself up. I grab a hold of God's promises. And His promises will uplift me and uphold me and they will reestablish me in a split second. You see, we need to have that root. We need to have the right root. Learn to have the right root. Learn to have the right root. Learn to believe God. Learn to hear His still small voice. Learn to have a relationship with His Word, in a living Word, not just the written Word, but the living Word, where the Holy Spirit takes the Word and makes it alive, and then He can lead me where I would not go. Then the Holy Spirit can show me the things to come, like He says in John chapter 16. Why? Because then I have a foundation on which that I live with Him. I don't just walk with Him, I live with Him. So I don't like that saying, walk with God. No, you live with God. You live with Him through His promises. You live with Him by having a deep root of grace through faith. You see, that root of bitterness, that root of unbelief, that root of unforgivingness, the root, you know, the root of a lack of mercy, the root of self-righteousness, the root of natural thinking, it defiles. I can't feed from that. It's rottenness. But grace through faith, that takes the water of the Word of God. You see, that's why we're like a tree planted by the water. The water enters through the root. It's a right root. If I have that right root, then I have the life of God. It's the right root. In John 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Nobody can. You see, that wrong root cannot bring the right thing. But then the right root will not bring the wrong thing either. The life of God will not fail me. The life of God will take care of me. I have to have the right root in order to have the right life. And then in verse 7, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. You see, even in the worst of failures, even in the worst of persecutions, even in the worst of tribulations, if I have the right root, there is hope that that tree will live again, because the root is still supplying nourishment. The root is still taking in the Word of God. The root is still building life. No matter what the circumstances, if the root is good, then there is hope and the tree will live again. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof waxes old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Through the scent of water it will bud. You see, if the root can take in water, then everything will be okay. If I can still receive, I may be flat on my face or I may be flat on my back. Either way, if I can still receive from the Word of God, all will be well. If I can still receive from the Word of God, all will be well, because it produces life in me. You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. This is why I can have the right root. That is why I can have grace through faith, because God is faithful and He loves me. And He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. He is faithful. And even though I may not believe, in Romans 3:3, for if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You see, the beauty of faith is this. It's not my own. It's not my own. The beauty of faith is this. It is the faith of God. Not the faith of man, but the faith of God. And even though in my natural mind I may not be able to comprehend, even though in my natural mind I may not be able to see how a thing is possible, even though in my natural mind I may not be able to see how God can make anything of my life, but if I choose in faith, because of who God is, then that will have an effect. I simply choose in faith toward who God is. Even though I don't get it, I choose in faith toward who God is. What does that mean? That means I trust God's heart. In all things, I learn to trust God's heart. And if I trust God's heart, then I'll trust who He is. And if I trust who He is, then I'll have the capacity to have a living faith. It's really not that difficult. You know what it takes? Coming to the end of myself. It's much easier to have faith in God when you know you can't have faith in yourself. But I have faith in God. Why? Because He's the source of my life. And so I have the life of God produced by grace, which is deeply rooted because of faith. So in Isaiah 27:6, in closing, He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. See, God causes me because I come of Jacob to take root. How does that happen? Through the Spirit of God leading me in the Word of God, as the Word of God is illuminated for my life. And then I take root. And that root produces fruit. And that root fruit reaches through the world. This is how it happens. This is how the plan of God works. Abraham believed God, and the fruit has reached through the world. And not just through the temporal world of space. The world through time. The world through eternity. You see, the faith that Abraham established is not going to go away when this world goes away. Abraham's fruit reaches through eternity because he responded in faith and so he had the right root. When I have the right root, no matter what I produce by sight, no matter if I can see the effects of my own life, because really, who can? Abraham could not. Paul could not. David could not. Moses could not. But if I have the right root, and I have a life of faith, then the fruit reaches through all of eternity. And it spreads through the world. I think Pastor Stevens is a perfect example of this. Here was a man with a 6th grade education. I think it's interesting that he had come out with 2 PhDs and a 6th grade education. But here's a man who had to leave school when he was a young boy because his father died when he was 3. Both his older brothers were off fighting World War II. And it was just him and his mom taking care of a farm. And he had to work as a kid in a tannery. He was 12 years old. So here's this man with a 6th grade education, without a Christian upbringing, who gets saved and simply believes God for the promise that was the calling on his life. And he starts preaching because he felt led to preach, and he had 6 people. And what happened? The fruit spread throughout the whole world. And it reached eternity because countless souls got saved, countless disciples were made, hundreds of churches were planted where disciples were made, where soul winners were trained, where lives were transformed. And one little man from a nowhere town, because he believed God, reached eternity. Because he had the right root. Have the right root. Have the right root. Grace, the government of God in my life through faith. That's the right root.